I want to thank Rav Goldwicht, first of all, for the invitation to speak in the Kollel. This is my first time to have the opportunity, only my second time in my life in Camp Masorah. My first time here in the Kollel, and I thank Rav Goldwicht not only for the introduction, which was embarrassing, but most importantly for the invitation and the opportunity to even be a part, a small part, of this incredible Kiddush Hashem. This is a teva of Kiddush Hashem. Have boys in the middle of a camp learning and growing and steiging. It's an unbelievable, unbelievable thing. And the camp is fortunate to have you. You're fortunate to have Rav Goldwicht. And Klal Yisrael is fortunate to have all of you. So really, Ashreichem, and it's a privilege for me to be able to share a few words in Musar, a little Machshava, a little Hisorus, Likrat, this coming Shabbos, and the Parsha that we'll read, the famous story of Korach. And I want to share with you a brief idea, but for me at least, it's a powerful, powerful message. And each year when I revisit the Parsha, it's something that I try to remind myself of. It inspires me, and I hope Mimela, it will inspire you as well. After the earthquake, after the fire, after the death of Korach, after the death of Dothan Vaaviram, after the death of the 250 people, after all of that, one more nace. One more miracle. After all of the frightening and powerful nisim, evidently HaKadosh Baruch Hu said we need one more miracle, one more nace to solidify the leadership of Moshe and Aaron. And after all the powerful and frightening miracles that we saw in the beginning of the Parsha, one last one, a quiet one, a subtle one, almost a sweet one. We read in Perek Yitzayin, Pasuk of Gimel, Vayhimi Macharas, Liyava Moshe, Ohel Ha'edus, Vahine, Parach Mata Aaron. Aaron's staff had blossomed. The base Levi, but Yotze, and what come out? What do you see in this matah and the staff? Perach, the Yotze tzitz, the Yigmol shekedim. Not only the staff, but there are certain flowers, certain kind of fruits. Before you actually have the fruit, there's a little bit of a flower, a little bit of a tzitz, and then the Yigmol shekedim, the ultimate fruit that blossomed, the miracle of the almonds, the shekedim. This is the final miracle in the story, the postscript to the thunder and the lightning, to the loud and scary miracles that swallowed up a people, that frightened, that dramatically announced Moshe and Aaron's legitimate leadership. We have one more quiet miracle, a staff that blossoms with little flowers and almonds. And the question is, l'cha'ora, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels the need to have one more miracle, we need to understand why. And if there's one more miracle, and of all things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to have this particular miracle, a staff that blossoms, flowers, almonds. Why dafka almonds? Why dafka this miracle? It must be, if this was evidently necessary, one more miracle, and it's this miracle, there must be a meser. There must be a message for us to learn from this. So Rashi, here already on the Pasuk, is bothered, why dafka almonds? Why shkedim? Rashi says, it's a metaphor. It's a musar and a metaphor. Why? Shkedim, almonds, they grow very quickly. What's the musar, says Rashi? That all the dorei doros should understand that anyone who comes against Aaron, against Moshe, against the legitimate Jewish leadership, you go against the Kohanim, their downfall will be fast. Maher. Like the Shkedim, which are Mimaharim, to grow. That's Rashi's approach. The Chizkuni, one of the other great Rishonim in Mefarshim al HaTorah, the Chizkuni looks at this not in the negative, scary kind of against the bad people. Chizkuni says, no, it's in a more positive way. It symbolizes the kahuna itself. After all, perach symbolizes pirchei kahuna. In Chazal, in numerous places, the young kohanim are known as the blossoms, the young Kohanim, the Pirchei Kuhuna. Tzitz represents the Tzitz HaKodesh. Kohen Gadol used to wear the Tzitz. Shkedim, says the Chizkuni, symbolizes that the Kohanim are Shoktim al their Kuhuna. The Kohanim are stark, they're serious, they take care of the job. So both the Chizkuni and Rashi see the symbolism of the Mateh, with the flowers, with the almonds, as symbolizing something very specific. It's keeping in line, in theme, with the story itself, which is all about, is Aaron legitimate or not? Is Moshe legitimate or not? It comes along this last miracle, both Rashi and the Chizkuni, and say this is the final step, the Makib HaPatish, on that particular point. Rashi focusing on the Rishayim, on the bad guys. You come up against the Kohanim in the future, you'll go down fast, fast and hard, like Shkedim, grow fast. Chizkuni, the mirror of that, the opposite, but also the same theme about the Kohanim, but in the positive sense. Each one of these things symbolizes the legitimacy of Aaron and his progeny and his family. But in contrast to both of these interpretations in the Rishonim, I want to share with you and I want to focus on a third approach of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein is, of course, most well known for his Igros Moshe, Shilas Vetshuvas. Rav Moshe used to lament that he felt his magnum opus was not his Igros Moshe, but the Dibros Moshe, Kedushim on Shas. But some people at least know about that. What's least well known, I think, is there's a relatively small, unbelievable single volume of Rav Moshe's insights on the Parshiyos HaShavua called the Dorash Moshe. And here on our Parsha, Rav Moshe Feinstein gives a third interpretation, not like Rashi, not like Chizkuni, and not focused just on the unique players of the story, the Kohanim and Moshe and the Kahuna and the Leviya, but rather a message that's relevant to everyone in this room, Kohanim, Yisraelim, and Leviim, all of us equally relevant. Says Rav Moshe as follows. He says it's meduyuk from the Pasuk that even after the almonds blossomed, that the almonds grew, that the flowers, the perach, remained. Not only is this meduyuk in the Pasuk, Rav Moshe says, I'll bring you a raya from the Gemara. Because the Gemara in Yuma tells us that there was a miracle after the destruction, or anticipation of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. They buried certain things, they separated certain things to preserve certain important artifacts, if you will. And one of the things that was included in that list, says the Gemara, is Maklo Shel Aaron, Aaron's staff, Ushkedeha, Uperacheha. You see, says Rav Moshe, that even the Dore Doros, if you will, the Habdil, the museum piece, Mata Aaron, what was Mata Aaron? With the Prachim and Shkedeha. Now the reason this is noteworthy is because it doesn't make any scientific sense. And this is not something that just some modern scientists discovered. The Rishonim in Yuma already asked the question. The teva of many fruits, including the shkedim, is that first you have this little bud, this prachim, and then when the fruit is ready to blossom, the flowers fall off, and then comes forth the fruit. You have, for all sorts of different fruits, some kind of flower-esque kind of thing, this little bud, but then it falls off, and then the fruit blossoms. And evidently, it wasn't just enough of a miracle that a stick all of a sudden has flowers, and a stick all of a sudden has almonds. But apparently, the Do-Re-Doros, even after the whole mice, after the story is over, the almonds stayed on the stick, but maybe even more shockingly, says Rav Moshe, the flowers stayed on the stick. My God, what's going on? Why is this necessary? And as I mentioned, if you're interested, already the Tosfos Yeshanim and the Ritva in Yuma both give different answers to this question. Why all of a sudden, a miracle in a miracle? For what? What did he do? What do we need it for? However, Rav Moshe gives his own answer. And he says something so beautiful and so powerful. And I just want to share with you this idea of Rav Moshe, and then we'll end with a story. Rav Moshe says, if you think about it, everything here is symbolic. The mateh of Aaron, he says, a stick moving upward, represents our striving, our growing, our avodas Hashem. And says Rav Moshe, on the mateh, not only of Aaron, but the mateh of life, your mateh, my mateh, on the mateh of avodas Hashem for every one of us, there are prachim and there are shkedim. What's the difference between them? Prachim, as I already mentioned, is something that happens in the process of growth. Prachim, says Rav Moshe, represents the process, the first necessary steps, the effort, the struggle, and yes, even sometimes the pain that we all have to go through in order to eventually have growth. That's the prachim. What happens on the way to growth, on the way to the peros. The shkedim represent the ultimate pri, the peros, the ultimate goal that we're all trying to get to. Says Rav Moshe, the shkedim are the fruits of our labor, the end, the goal. It could be, when you think about our lives, we look back after 120, all the many, many little steps and the huge accomplishments, or it could even be in a particular event. You have certain goals here for the summer. There's going to be ups, there's going to be downs. Certain siddurim you're going to be flying, certain siddurim are going to be a little harder. Certain shurim you're going to get it right away, other shurim are going to be more difficult. The effort you keep on putting in, that's the prachim, that's the process. The goals, which you're aspiring to, whether it's the goal each day, the goal at the end of the summer, the goal at the end of the year, that's the payoff, that's the fruits. So says Rav Moshe, in light of this, the message of the miracle of the Matev Aaron is an unbelievably, unbelievably powerful one. Says Rav Moshe, unlike in so many other areas of life where we really only get rewarded, we really only get the payment for the fruits, for the shkedim, for the success, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made one last miracle within a miracle, that the flowers, the prachim, should stay on the mateh. So that l'dore doros, people realize, what's the symbolism of Odas Hashem? Not just the successes, not just the end result, not just the almonds, not just the pri, but also the prachim, all the little buds, all the little flowers that usually come and they're invisible. There's so many millions of little steps that each of us take, and sometimes other people took on our behalf and we didn't even know about. A camp that set up a kolo, a rosh kolo, a director, all the little things, and all the little things that we do. So at the end of the summer, we can say, what an almond, what a pri, what a success, what an experience. So we usually think, b'teva adam, it's natural and it's true in most areas of life, that their ikr, the thing that we're really going to be proud of, the thing that we're really going to be rewarded for, are the peros. Some almonds are going to be bigger than others. Some almonds are going to be sweeter than others. This guy's a bigger lamdan. He's better in Bakiyas. He's better at davening. He's better at Musar. We have certain people who are successes and goals. And that's all wonderful. We should strive for all of that. But says Rav Moshe, the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made yet another miracle in the prachim, the flowers, stayed on the mateh, stayed right next to the almonds. They were nignas together, was to teach us a lesson that in the mateh of Avodas Hashem, in the mateh of life for all of us, we're equally rewarded, not only for the peros, not only for the almonds, the shkedim, but all for the process, the effort, and sometimes even the pain that goes along the way. If you think about it, every one of us has our different areas where the prachim, the steps, are a little bit harder. For some of us, could be kavana in davening. It's very difficult for a lot of people. Other people, great at davening, easy. But hasmada and learning. In the summer, so much is going around to keep my head in the Gemara and the Sefer. Some people have a hard time with that. Other people, they're better in lamakom, easy. But the menam lachavero ain't so good. Problems in ka'as, problems in kina. And other people, they're struggling with what to do and not to do on their phone or other such things. We all have our areas, and some of us have more than one, where we struggle, where we work hard. And Baruch Hashem, I have no doubt, each and every one of you, I know some of you, but even those I don't know, I have no doubt that each and every one of you, this summer, this past year, next year, will have countless shkedim, countless successes, countless fruits of labor which you can be proud of. But don't forget the message of the Matzah, says Rav Moshe Feinstein. You should be proud of the Shkedim, but also of the Prachim, also of the flowers, also of the steps, also of the process. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards us equally for the effort, especially when the effort is difficult, as much for the peros. And I want to end, if I could, a few more minutes, just one last indulgence, with a story, which I think will dramatically encapsulate this. It's a true story, but it would be worth sharing, even if it wasn't. But it is. It's a story that took place on the Lower East Side of Manhattan many decades ago, when Rav Moshe Feinstein from the Gedolei Hador lived on the Lower East Side. There were many different kinds of Jews. Don't believe it's just sometimes what you hear in storybooks or romanticizing. Overwhelming majority in the past were not so frum. They weren't learning in the summer, that I promise you. There were some nice Erlich Balabatim. I have cousins who grew up on the Lower East Side with Rav Moshe. But the overwhelming majority of the Jews in that neighborhood and every other were not frum. And in many cases, not even literate at all. There was a phenomenon that used to be more common in America. Maybe our cast knows about this. Maybe some of you, your fathers know about this. There used to be such a thing as a Jewish boxer. The sport of boxing used to be very overrepresented by Jews. Basketball, no. But once upon a time, professional boxing. And there was a boxer, a Jewish boxer, completely assimilated, but Jewish. And he knew he was Jewish, proud of being Jewish, but assimilated. He lived on the Lower East Side. He ended up, I think he was either a widow or a divorcee, his wife left him out, or he lived alone with his son. He was totally illiterate. Didn't know, didn't care, nothing. Couldn't even read. Somehow, and I don't know how, his one son, a miracle, he became from. This is before NCSY, before Isha Torah. I don't know if anything came before Chabad. Maybe from the Parsha, right? The Ridas Adama, right? That was Meshishis Ve'Abrashis. Maybe that's from before Chabad, I don't know. Efshir. Somehow he became from, I don't know how. And for weeks and weeks, the same thing would happen every night at home. This young man, whatever he did, I don't know, but he would come home at night, sit in front of a gemara. I think it's an assignment to be in a camp that so much fun's happening and being here. How about be the only person learning by yourself in an apartment with your father, who doesn't care, doesn't respect what you're doing, thinks it's a bit ridiculous waste of time reading this old Aramaic book, and he is making sure with extra volume to watch TV while you're trying to learn at the dining table. And not only did the father not care, not only did the father not join, the father was resentful. There was meta, there was tension between father and son, you're rejecting my lifestyle, you can imagine. Months, goes on like this. And finally, Nafaha Simon, the father gets it. He says to himself, listen, I used to be so close with my son, and now nothing. I thought it was a phase, I thought he was going to grow out of it. Evidently not. I have a choice. I can stay who I am and never have anything to do with him, or I could take a step towards him. So he shocks his son one night. Shocking. He goes to his son and says, no, maybe you'll learn with me. Maybe I could learn with you. His son is shocked. Overjoyed, but shocked. His father knows nothing. Never any interest. Resentful. But he's not going to say no. Quickly tries to learn. What's the problem? Father never learned, but you barely read Hebrew. Could you imagine how hard it is to make a living on a Gemara if you can't even read Hebrew? Step by step, mamish, slow. Teach him how to read, then Hebrew, then Aramaic, and then a sentence in the Mishnah. Okay, that's easy. The Gemara, oh my God. After a whole year, they finished their first daf, the Gemara. One page, it took a year. The father by this point is all in. Right? Shut up, he's in. And he said, so excited, he says to his son, I heard about this thing, a seal. We should make a seal. And the son is thinking, I don't think you make a seal on one daf. But he doesn't want to be the one to burst his father's bubble. So he says, you know what? We live in the same neighborhood as the biggest rabbi in America. Let's go ask Rav Moshe Feinstein. He figures, let Rav Moshe be the bad guy. All of a sudden, there's a knock at Rav Moshe's door. He was very accessible. I have a cousin who grew up in the Lower East Side. He was just, you know, one of the guys. Shorter than most people, actually. But he was in the neighborhood, very accessible. They knock on his door, and he sees this boxer. He knows the boxer from the neighborhood. Never asked any shaitas before. And all
of a sudden, he hops, what's going on? It's a miracle. No one knew. It was behind closed doors. To the outside world, he's still the old boxer. But now all of a sudden, Moshe gets a glimpse of Kodesh Kodashim going on here. And the son says, "You're Moshe, forgive me, I don't know if this is the best question, but we were wondering, we just finished learning a Daf Gemara, can we make a seal?" Now you all know what the actual answer to the question is, right? But Moshe quickly sizes up the situation. He says, "Absolutely. Oh, what a simcha, I'll even have a l'chaim with you right now." And the father and son have the most joyous, unbelievable, celebratory l'chaim. What a seal. They make a little seal, the two of them. What happens? That night, the father puts his head down on the pillow. He falls asleep, mamish, with a smile from ear to ear. Never been as content as he is, feeling mamish on top of the world. He learned the Daf Gemara with his son. After a year, the great Rabbi Feinstein told him he could have a siyum and drank a l'chaim with him. And the father went to sleep with such sipuk hanefesh, so much satisfaction, so much hana, such a smile. And he never woke up. Father died that night. Son realizes his father has passed away the next morning. Called Chag Kedisha, did the Tara. Sometime later that day, they have a funeral. And a few people came to the funeral. He lived in the neighborhood for many years. He had some friends, not from the religious chevra, so much of the Lower East Side. And they got together, I don't know how many people, but it wasn't from the Chashuvei of the Lower East Side. It wasn't a huge group. And they're going to the funeral. And all of a sudden, they hear the door open in the back of the funeral home. And who walks in? The Moshe Feinstein. People are shocked. What is Rabbi Feinstein doing at the boxer's funeral? The boxer. And Moshe asks if he could say a few words. And he gets up there, and just in a few words, Moshe was not a man of many words. He was not such a darshan in any language. Even in Yiddish, kal vachomer English. But even in Yiddish, he wasn't a speaker, really. Moshe, in a few words, explains to the Olam, to people who are gathered, what exactly had happened in the story, what had happened with this boxer. And then he turns to the crowd and he tells them, we learn in the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, Dav Yudam Bet, sometimes, Yesh Kona Alamo, Bisha'a Achas. There could be one moment in a person's life that is so amazing, so uplifting, so inspiring, that even if he sinned his whole life, in that one moment, Yesh Kona Olamo, even B'Sha'as Achshachas, says Rav Moshe, that the Gemara taught us. But the boxer also taught us. Yesh Kona Olamo B'Daf Echad. Sometimes you can get your Olam Haba, not just in Sha'achas, but from one Daf. Rabosai, Tzadikim, do you hear the message? The message of the boxer is the same message as the mateh. The message that Rav Moshe Feinstein taught when he was explaining the prachim and the shkedim is the same Rav Moshe and the same message that he was teaching everyone at the funeral of the boxer that he taught us about one daf. No matter how hard, no matter how difficult, no matter how painful, we never, ever, ever give up. We never stop. We're always trying, we're always pushing, we're always fighting. Because we have a promise from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, symbolized by that mateh and personified by that boxer, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu loves our peros, but he loves our prachim, he loves our effort just as much. And remember, the more difficult, the more Hashem loves, the more he respects our effort, and the more we're rewarded. I wish all of you an incredible, successful summer for yourselves, on the Hashpa, on the whole camp. And again, thank you to Rav Govel, to Rav Ari, for the exclusive being here, and for the opportunity to share a few words. Have a wonderful Shabbos and an incredible summer.